sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. Is He great to you this morning? How great Thou art. Yes, Lord Jesus. How great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. I believe He's happy to hear it. Then sings my soul, my Savior. Yes, Lord Jesus. How great You are, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, how great Thou art. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. How great Thou art. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen. It seems like each and every day, the only thing I can think about, Sister Molly, is just getting out of here. There's nothing down here that pleases me anymore. I'm homesick. You know, my joy is truly coming from the Lord. And as that song says, I am thinking of a rapture. And that blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. Are you looking forward to it? I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. How we'll raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, like soul and free from all sin, how we'll shine and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, there will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Redeemed are gathering in. Oh, and redeemed are gathering in. Washed like soul and free from all sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing when redeemed. are gathering in. Number three. Oh, the story with their voices clear and strong. When the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, I love this. Oh, the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song. When the redeemed are gathering in. Brother David, we don't have to wait to get over there to be happy. We can be happy here. Amen. My joy is in the Lord. Amen. Wow. I certainly feel Him here this morning. God has certainly got something good in store for us today. I hope you come expecting. Amen. Before we change the order of the service, let's just sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. Saints, this should truly be our anthem this morning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Let's go back to G there, sister. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved. Think about this. Through me, He dangers tolls and snares. Oh my, I have. Oh. Praise Him, okay? Sister Becky continues to pray that softly. I sung that song for that third verse. I saw the picture of Brother Wayne this morning. Friends, that right there is living proof that God's got His hands on you. And if He's not through with you, if it's not your time to go, you're not going to go. I just marvel at God's grace. Let's hold Brother Wayne up in prayer. God done a wonderful thing for him, but he still needs a touch from the Lord. And I tell you, you can see 1,000 texts, and it don't do for you what one picture shows. Those texts can't tell you exactly. I was just astonished. It is truly, truly a miracle that Brother Wayne walked home yesterday. God is good, friends. Just remember him and Sister Faye in prayer. Also, we want to remember Sister Carol Henley, as she also had a fall this week, that the Lord will just continue to touch her. She's real sore, so let's just hold her up in prayer. Also, we want to remember Brother Anwar's family, that the Lord will just be with them and get them back safely. They're supposed to be leaving tomorrow evening, tomorrow night sometime. So let's just pray that the Lord will be with them and bring them back safely. Like, if you remember my sister Amber, she's at homesick this morning. Also, Brother John Cockman's family is not here. They're away. We want to remember them. And I know there's many unspoken needs among us. We also want to continue to remember Sister Mary Smith. She's not feeling well this morning. I'd like to ask Brother Larry if he would come and take these requests before the Lord. Also pray for our pastor. Our pastor's been very, very busy this week. And he really needs a touch from the Lord as well. So just hold him up in prayer as you pray this morning.
Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for another beautiful day you give us, Lord. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for the last couple of weeks of taking care of Brother Ernie, Brother Allen, Brother Wayne, Lord. God, we just don't know how many blessings we are blessed with. And would you see it among us in our audience here this morning, Lord? And we just thank you so much for each name that was called. And once traveling, Lord, be with him this morning, Lord, and keep him safe. All the ones that are sick at home, Lord, to touch those. Lord, we just don't know how to thank you enough for what you've done for us, Lord. Just be with us throughout the day, Lord, and bless our speaker today, Lord. Anoint him, anoint our ears to hear. May the words he speaks, Lord, just touch our hearts and give us more revelation of your word. Rest it all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Larry. God bless you, saints. You can be seated. Brother Matt's going to give us a song this morning as he's getting ready. Just a couple of announcements. We want to welcome all of our visitors this morning. We're glad to have Sister Shirley Lingle's brother Roger with us as well this morning. We welcome you and all the other visitors that's here. Reminder that the adult choir will practice at 3 o'clock sharp today. So be here at 3 o'clock for the choir practice. Also, would like the youth to remember December the 1st. It's going to be our youth event, our December youth event for the youth. Write that down on your calendars, December the 1st, so that's just around the corner. December is packed full this year, so we're having it just a little bit earlier than what we normally do. But there'll be more details and information to come, so December 1st. Brother Matt. Presence daily.
I surrender. it, Savior, I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I surrender all.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Matt. That's truly the only way He can work for us, is to totally surrender all. You got to surrender everything. Let's all stand. We'll have our ushers come at this time. We'll receive the morning tithe and offering. Amen. Brother Andy, if you would bless the offering. Amen. As Brother Barry comes, let's sing that little chorus, I Exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. I exalt thee, O Lord.
Have to think about it this way. When we get there, I mean, eye hasn't seen and ear has heard the things that are in store for us. So we really have no idea what it's going to be like. Amen. To see all the loved ones and all the saints and prophets and church age messengers and all the martyrs and everybody else that died on the other side. What a privilege that'll be. Amen. But to see him when he takes the stand, to see him move among us. Now that's a little bit beyond our understanding. So this morning, this is a dress rehearsal for that moment. When we sing, we exalt thee. Because that's what we'll do. We'll sing something like that, we exalt thee, when we get over on the other side. Now Brother Ram said death doesn't change you. So if we can sing that with real passion and real worship in our hearts today, that's how we'll sing it over the other side. Sing it again with me. Father, we exalt your name today and give thanks, Lord, for your greatness and your majesty, your wonder among us, Lord. We cease, Lord, to just the wonder of your presence, Lord. It's just such an amazing thing. It's not like anything else we experience, Lord, through the run of the week. And so in the name of Jesus Christ now, we just commit this day, this service, into your hands, Lord. We know there are many needs among us, and some of them, Lord, are mentioned and written down, but some of them, Lord, are not spoken. And so we just ask, dear God, that you would just bring peace and that you would pour oil upon the troubled waters, that, Lord, you would lay your healing virtue, your hand upon us, O God, today, that we might receive from your presence. Lord Jesus, have your way, we pray now. Forgive us of anything that may be contrary to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, move among us, I pray today. Anoint our thoughts, anoint our words. Lord, just I pray you take my mouth, Lord, and just say the things that need to be said and the way they need to be said, Lord, today. And Father God, we'll give you thanks and praise for all of it. We exalt you, we glorify your great name, and ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ for your glory. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated just for a moment here today. Musicians, we're going to let you take your seats there. Thank you. That'd be just fine. I just wanted to say that Brother Anwar's family, I've been mentioning a little bit in the update, his family is going to be leaving out of Lahore on Monday night, our time. All of the other airlines that normally fly into Lahore have been grounded. The only airline flying is Qatar Airlines, which is the airline that they're taking. And so it is a risk for them to be at the airport. It's a risk for them to travel through the streets. And so Brother Anwar is just asking us to remember them in prayer. It is truly a very dangerous situation. And so they got through Friday, which was the holy day for the Muslims, and they made it through that okay, hunkered down. No internet, no telephone service for most of the day. The military, the government, the authorities, the security forces are out in full force there just to try to keep the lid on things. And so you're not going to get a real sense of what's actually taking place by the media because it's not really covered very thoroughly in the media. But Brother Anwar assured me that we definitely do need to keep them in prayer if you don't mind. Now, I'd like to, if you can bring up my first screen here, if that'll be all right, can we do that? Can we bring up the PowerPoint? And I'd just like to be able to show you a little bit from last night. We had the first annual Joy Banquet from last night at Julian's Cafe. And it really, really was quite an event. And we decided at our table, we took a vote, and we decided it would be good to do it every month. I'm not sure we're going to be able to pull that off, but it was a blessing, I'll tell you that. And if you've never been to Julian's Cafe, let me just give you the tour, okay? These are some of the people who showed up last night, and it was just a really wonderful time. There were three special presentations that were made last night, one to the Smiths and one to Sister Connie Hughes, and one to John Harwell got the golden microphone, and you'll have to ask Brother John about that. But they had some interesting, very interesting games that they had us to play, and this is some of the serving crew that were on deck last night, and they were under the tutorship of the head deacon here, and they actually had server training yesterday, right? It was some point yesterday, so it was really, really great. This is some of the chief cooks and bottle washers there in the kitchen. And this is the cooking crew here, the folks that made it all so delightful. If you don't mind, I'd just like to show you a behind-the-scenes clip of what it was actually like in the kitchen last night when all the action was going on. You've not seen a clip like this before. So this was what it was actually like. I don't think there's any sound to this. If we can pull this off here. Let's see if we can do it. If we can't, it's okay. This is what we call behind the scenes. Let me tell you, when they were busy, they were busy. This is not speeded up at all. This is the pace at which they worked. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. Let's pull that off there. And this is the serving crew afterwards. And they had their picture made for us. And then this was the original Joy group who were there. So we realized everybody wasn't there. Brother Wayne, Sister Faye were not there. Sister Molly was not there. Sister Sherry was not there. And a couple of others, and we certainly missed everyone who was not able to be there, but it was just a wonderful time. Now, I'd like to announce this. You know, we've done, I was telling somebody recently who is a family who's planning to move here, and they were, I was just sharing with them some of the things that we do here in the church, and I got tired. I had to take a break in the middle of it, and I was thinking, do we really do all those things? But you know, there's one group in this church that doesn't get ministered to very often, and I'm going to change that. Could you turn me up just a little bit here, please? They are a group that we're going to begin to have a meeting with in the month of March. And that is the group called Married With or Without Children, who are not in the Joy group. Okay? Peter and Rachel, Ben and Rachel, Anna and Jeff, Ethan and Anna, the couples who are married David, and although close, we have some families who are on the line. And Brother Ernie, Sister Amanda, Billy and Liddy, and different ones who are married. As long as you're married, you don't have to have children. That's just one couple, right? And less than 55. So we're going to have a gathering. Now, because we have the fellowship hall, what we're going to do is we're going to be able to have a dinner over here for the families, and then have some caretaking for the kids over there, and then be able to bring the couples over here and be able to have a little session, a little time over here with them, and turn that into an evening. So we're going to let you know, Lord willing, when we're going to do that in the month of March. We get a weekend free. The guardian of the book, Sister Freedia over here, has quite a job in balancing out all of our dates and times there. Sorry, Sister Frieda. And so it's a challenge for us to get times in. But you know what? That's the whole point. That's the whole purpose to have the fellowship hall, is to be able to use it. And so we're thankful for those opportunities that we have. Let's stand to our feet. I want to go right into the Word this morning. And we're going to title this Citizens of Another Kingdom. And I have a full load today that I want to be able to share with you. In Ephesians chapter 2, and let's begin at verse 11, if you don't mind. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. That was our state. As Gentiles, that was our state. We were a people who were estranged from the covenants of promise, and we had no hope. There was no inclusion, there was no place in for the Gentiles, and we were without God in the world. What a terrible place to be. Aren't you glad that's not the way it is now? But now, 13, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Drop down. Verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now you remember in the book of Hebrews, it describes Abraham as a pilgrim and a stranger in a strange land. And that means that he had no right of inheritance. He had no right of natural inheritance. He had no father to leave him land. And that's how the inheritance was passed down. The sons inherited the land or the farms of the father. And so that's what the Bible means when it says that you're strangers. And Abraham, when he went into the land, listen now just for a moment, when he went into the land, God gave him that land so he could claim it not by natural right, but by divine right. He had a right to say, this is now mine, because God gave it to him. Man did not give it to him. And so now, Paul is drawing the same connection here for us. He says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So we claim our inheritance now, not by natural right, but by the blood of Christ. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated this morning. Hold your Bible open. We're going to use it this morning for a couple of key places here. And I'm going to introduce something new that's not new. And I'm going to be talking about some things that I think all of you will know, but I want to just say it in a way that I trust will be a blessing to you, and something that will perhaps maybe answer some questions for you in relation to this whole idea of fellow citizens and citizens of the kingdom of God. Now, let's just continue reading just for a moment here. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple of the Lord. If you remember when Brother Soriano was here from the Philippines, he talked about the temple of God and how much time and energy and investment God actually made in building himself a house, in building a tabernacle for his habitation. And so this is where Paul is taking the church now in this chapter of Ephesians here, letting us know that we not only are now citizens, fellow citizens of the kingdom, that we are truly full-fledged citizens of the kingdom of God. How many can say amen? In our limited understanding of that, we can agree with that. I think most of you would agree with that. But I want to expand on that thought this morning, so it'll be more of a blessing to you. And also, though, we want to take it a little further and say that not only am I a citizen of the kingdom, not only do I have rights in that kingdom, but also God has made me by His grace and by the atonement at Calvary. He's made my life a habitation of the Spirit. He's made my body a temple of the Holy Ghost, right? And so that's the second thing here that we want to take note of. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And that's exactly what God is trying to do. Now, let me give you a couple of basic statements here at the very beginning. And you've heard this before. The new birth, Brother Branham said, is Christ. Is a revelation of Christ. And God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's a new birth. And now, what are you going to do when all of that group comes together? Which is what Paul is saying here, that this body fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple of God. He says, what are you going to do when you get all of that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through His Word by the same actions, same things He did, making the Word manifest? Just think for a moment here now. I want you to just lock in with me for a little bit here. What are you going to do, he says, if you had a great group of people who were born again and filled with the Spirit of God? What would happen, he says, if you got that group together, that large group together? Or let's just say it this way. Let's bring it down to our level here. What would you say if everyone in here was on the same level of redemption? Everybody here, and in unity or in harmony together, and the Holy Spirit freely able to move among us. In a sense, what Brother Branham is inviting us to consider is that it really would be unlimited in terms of what the Holy Spirit could do among us. Oh, he says that the church only knew its position. It will one day. And then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Church really understands who we are and who we are in Christ and come together in that kind of a unity that Brother Branham's referring to here. He says the rapture will go. It's not just going to be an ongoing thing, but our bodies will actually change when the church really comes together and knows its position, knows its place. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to continually bring us into our place. It is the work of the Holy Spirit constantly to move us ahead into the place that He wants us to be. Now, we find that as we have talked a little bit about here, and you understand the basic definition of citizenship, let me give you a little review here. Citizenship denotes the link between a person and a state. Now, this is something that's important to me right at the moment here because I'm going to be going, I'm submitting my application for citizenship so that I would be able to carry two passports, actually. I only carry one now, a Canadian one, and I will have a definite link now between myself and this country. And it is normally synonymous with the term nationality. So we could say most of you are American nationals. And possession of citizenship is normally associated with the right to work, live, and pay taxes in a country and participate in political life. So you have the opportunity to vote. You have an opportunity to appeal to the government and so forth. You have an opportunity to serve on a jury. You have an opportunity to pay lots of taxes. You have an opportunity to be able to benefit from the things that the government supplies for its people. You have the benefit of protection no matter where you are in the world. And the government of the United States is obligated to protect and defend citizens not only here in the United States from enemies foreign and domestic, but also to look after citizens no matter where they are in the world. And so it is a kind of a comforting thing to know that if you're a citizen in good standing with your country. Not only do you have rights and benefits and protections here in this land, but you also have protection when you travel abroad. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Now, I want you to think spiritual now. So when we look back in history and we think about maybe back in Paul's day or something like that, this was a little piece that I found about slavery, which was written by a gentleman, Jeffrey Hoskin, and he writes it this way. It can be argued that this growth of slavery was what made Greeks particularly conscious of the value of freedom. He said, after all, any Greek farmer might fall into debt and therefore become a slave at almost any time. Well, we find that in the Old Testament. You remember the laws of the Jubilee? Those were similar laws back then. But when the Greeks fought together, they fought in order to avoid being enslaved by warfare and to avoid being defeated by those who would take them into slavery. So the end result of a loser in a battle meant that the soldiers would become slaves of the victorious party. And they would take their children, they would take their women. Sometimes if the men died in battle, they would go take the women and children and turn them into slaves in that new country. And so when the Greeks fought together, they fought to avoid this whole possibility of going into slavery. Because when you're a slave, then you don't have rights like a normal citizen would. And so they also arranged a political institution so as to remain free men. And this has been something that's been ongoing through the ages, and it is not the same in every country. For those of you that have never traveled into other countries, you would soon realize, for those of you that have not traveled in other countries, you kind of assume that this is the way it is, the way everybody lives, that you have certain democratic freedoms that are just yours because you're a citizen here. But in many, many other countries, it is not that way. In communist countries, in China, and even in places like India and other places where they have forms of democracy, it is not as free as what it is here. And so life is very different. And some of you that are nationals of other countries, things are actually changing quite quickly. So it's something that the Greeks back here, the ancient Greeks, they felt like that when they fought in a battle, hey, they were fighting for their freedom. Literally, they were fighting for freedom. And they never wanted to become slaves. Now, to say that someone is a fellow citizen, which is what Paul is teaching us here, it means that they are possessing the same citizenship with others. And they share that, like Gentiles who are received into the communion of saints and the people consecrated to God. So we say that when somebody comes to our church and they want to be a part of the family here at HBT, then we would say that, we consider them a member of the body, a fellow citizen, if you like, of the body. In other words, whatever one does, we all do. Whatever one enjoys, we all enjoy. And whenever somebody goes through something, Brother Wayne, I know they're listening this morning, and, whatever befalls somebody, that's something that affects us all. Because we are a close community. And I'm thankful for that. We are a group that, we share the likes and the experiences that we have with one another, and so we could say we're like fellow citizens of a little community, and that's not a bad thing. How many would agree? Amen. Now, in Acts chapter 5, Paul pulled the citizenship card when he was taken by the mob and so forth back in Acts chapter 25, and he's telling his story, and he's standing in front of Festus, and he says, who was the governor, and he says, now if I be an offender or I have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. Punish me according to the law, because I'm a citizen of the land. But he says, but if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. I'm a Roman after all. And so, being a part of that kingdom, he was able then to say, all right, we don't live by mob rule. If indeed I have done something wrong, then the law would apply to me. But if I have not done something wrong, then we're not going to let these people take the law into their own hands. And he says, try me according to Roman law. Let me go to Caesar. And as soon as, in that culture, as soon as you call for, the right to be able to go to Rome and be tried there, then Festus had to throw his hands up and he said, hey, when he had conferred with the council, he answered, hast thou appeal unto Caesar? Unto Caesar thou shalt go. Because that was the law of the land. And so therefore, the laws apply. Now, Let me take it now very quickly here because I want to move this forward. Brother Branham said in the message, Jesus Christ the Same in 1952, he said, before you was even formed in your mother's belly, I knew you. This is Jeremiah, back in the book of Jeremiah. And sanctified, called you, sanctified you, and ordained you a prophet over the nations before he was ever born. He said, you believe that. You believe in predestination and foreordination. It's all together by grace, not by desire. It's by grace. Think about this now. That the reason that we are citizens of the kingdom is not by our conduct, but because of our birth. And because God predestinated us to be here. Let's think about this now. If you're a member of the body of Christ, you are that by grace, not by desire. So therefore, it's very much the same Lucas here, he doesn't ever have to try to become and wish with all of his heart that he could be my son. That'd be kind of silly, wouldn't it, for him to spend energy on trying or wishing or wanting to become my son. He is my son. And he was my son from the very moment that he was born. And there was nothing ever that he could do to become more my son than just be born as the son of Barry and Becky Coffey. And that's just the way it is. And there's nothing, no matter what he does, and no matter, even if he had a face change and, he went and changed his name legally and so forth, you know what? That's still my son. And so Brother Branham's giving us a very important principle here, and some of these now are very simple. I'm not going to be complicated. This is very simple here. He says now, the way that God does things is by foreordination. And he foreordained the prophets to come, just like he foreordains us. And he says, we believe in predestination, and foreordination and predestination are the same thing. He said, it's altogether by grace. It's not by desire, it's by grace. So inclusion in this family, inclusion in the body of Christ, is by God's foreordination or God's predestination in our lives. God called Abraham out of the world, a whole world of people. Why? Because Abraham was better? No, sir. It's grace. God's chosen election and call. You are what you are because the grace of God has made you what you are. We are what we are because the grace of God has made us what we are. Now, if that's true then, if Lucas is if he's a son of Barry and Becky Coffey, he has certain rights. So for instance, like if I died, and God forbid, as I died, Sister Becky died, he would naturally become an heir, because he's a son of whatever assets that I would have, whatever things that I would possess, he would become an automatic heir of that. And somebody could not say, the other three brothers, they couldn't gang up and say, we really don't like Lucas. We really never did. We thought he was probably an adopted son from a botched Russian bank robbery over there, and the parents got killed, put him up for adoption, and mom and dad had mercy on him and brought him back from Russia. And so we never thought he was really our son. I'll tell you what. There's ways that they can prove that he is our son, right? And they can prove paternity. They can prove whose son he actually is. And beyond the shadow of a doubt, there'd be no argument to that. They can take it to the highest court in the land, and there's nothing they can do to alter that because he is actually a son of Barry and Becky Coffey, right? That's the natural. Now, let's just refresh our memory. I told you about this before, that God promised Israel many years ago that they would be scattered throughout the world. They would be forced to leave the land of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 33. I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. In other words, they're going to be scattered, but one day there's a promise I will bring them back. Whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. So Israel had promises that God was going to judge them, and he was going to scatter them to the four winds, and they would live in literally all parts of the earth, which they did. But the promise always was that they would come back into the land again. And that promise was manifested in 1950 by a law that was passed in the Israeli Knesset, which made it a fact that every Jew, and this is literally the wording of the law, with every Jew, he has the right to emigrate to this country simply because he's a Jew. And that's called a right of return. And with that few simple words, it defined Israel's central purpose, which is to be a place where all Jewish people can live. And they can live without question. The only thing they needed to do was to prove their Israeli citizenship. Here's the bottom part of the screen. With the inception of the State of Israel, 2,000 years of wandering are officially over. And since then, the Jews have been entitled to simply show up and request to be Israeli citizens, assuming they pose no imminent danger to public health, state security, or the Jewish people as a whole. Essentially, all Jews everywhere are Israeli citizens by right. Folks, that's happening right now in our time. That's happening right now. And that is a fulfillment of the scriptures which were given by the prophets back in the Old Testament there. In verse 14 of Zechariah chapter 7 on the bottom here. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. And thus the land was desolate after them. No man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. But there was a promise in there that God said, I will gather them out of all countries. In Zechariah, I will bring them again. And when they came back to the land, they did not have to say, well, I've got a degree in physics, or I've got a degree in economics. I have so much money in my bank account, and I have talents as an entertainer or something else. They didn't have to prove their right to return by their conduct. They rather proved their right to return by their origin, which was as Jews. So simply by proving their right of origin, they could walk up to the grounds, or the border, and they could say, I would like to become an Israeli citizen, I'd like to be able to live here, and nobody could stop them because that was the law of the land. Can you say amen? Do you understand, saints of God, that when we came to this faith, when we came to this light, we did exactly the same thing? We came to the altar and we did not say to God, I think you ought to save me because I've been in church a long time. Or I spoke in tongues in the Pentecostal church. Or I've been a pretty good guy all of my life. That's not the reason that we become a member of the body of Christ. The reason we become a member is simply because I have an origin that was on the Lamb's Book of Life. And now I can prove my heritage and my origin, and nobody can stop me from becoming a citizen of the body of Christ. And a fellow citizen with the saints and the sages of all ages. It's not by conduct. It's not by performance. It's not by, you're not going to behave your way into the body of Christ. Let me say it again. You're not going to behave your way into the body of Christ. You're not going to conduct your way into inclusion as a citizen of the kingdom of God. You're not going to behave your way into the marriage supper. Let me tell you, we are going to be there because God predestinated us or foreordained us from before the foundation of the world. That's how we're going to be there. Now, if that's true, then this is also true. Now, here's where you need to take your Bible. Let's go to 2 Peter. I need you to read this with me, and I need you to be honest with me here as we look at this. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us unto glory and virtue. Stop for a minute. You remember, Peter was in the upper room, right? When the Holy Spirit first came. Peter was in the upper room. In the upper room, they had an experience of meeting God, and God visibly showed Himself alive and indwelling the members of the body of Christ who were in the upper room. Tongues of fire, right? Everybody together? That was the beginning of the early church. That was the beginning of their experience with the Holy Spirit. They had never encountered the Holy Spirit before that. That was their first encounter with the Holy Spirit. We said that was their meeting with God, right? Now, Peter says, God has given to us everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, as we've read this before, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and then to brotherly kindness, verse 7, charity, which is the capstone, which is Christ. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tell me, did Peter have to go through a second experience when all of these virtues were added into his life? No. Did Peter have to have some sort of a sealing? Some sort of an experience at the end of this whole growth process that we have just read? Faith, knowledge, virtue, temperance, patience. Did Peter go through some other second experience after that? In other words, then he would become a fully adopted son of God after all of these things were in him, capped off, sealed. All right, Peter, you're done. Now you're considered a mature son of God? No. Some of you are thinking now. Think about your reading of the book of Acts. Think about all of this. We understand the first meeting that Peter had with God in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. It is true that many of us feel like, and it's partly an issue of terminology. It's partly an issue of teaching and terms that people have, that when I have an initial experience with God, somehow or another, I've got to go through this period where I act right, and God will eventually, maybe years later, seal me, and then I'm okay to enter into the kingdom of God. And then we can begin to feel like, I got your attention, we can begin to feel like I'm going to receive my adoption by my conduct. Somehow or another, I'm going to make it in because I exhibit faith, virtue, patience, temperance, brotherly kindness, and that's how I'm going to make it in. Haven't I just said how we're going to make it in the quotes previous to this? We're making it in, folks, by predestination, by election, not by conduct. But isn't it true that sometimes we think, well, if I get all of these things right and I get my personality all right and I get all these virtues in place, that somehow or another that God's going to seal me off and then I can go into the kingdom of God. Hold on now. Lucas never needs to become a coffee. He never needs to learn mom and dad's habits and our ways and our language and our history and then pass the test in order to really be certified as a coffee. You know what? He was a coffee the moment he took his first breath. The moment he was conceived in the womb, he was a coffee. Isn't that right? In the same way, and we should never confuse this, that the natural birth and the spiritual birth are very parallel. That we become the sons and daughters of God not by our conduct and not by what we do in our Christian walk, but we become the sons and daughters of God by virtue of our birth. That entitles me to the passport to the kingdom of God. You say, well, Brother Barry, that's pretty gracious. You better believe it. You better believe it, because I'm one of those people in the earth that have been born twice. Most people in the earth are born once. I've been born twice. In other words, God, by His grace, allowed me to be born again. How many here have been born again a second time? You're all recipients of that kind of a special grace that God gave to you. Why did God extend that to you? Not because you did something prior to your new birth that pleased God. I don't know about you, but I didn't do anything that pleased God prior to my new birth. I was making a bigger mess of things before my new birth. I'll tell you what, the things that I did in 1979 before God got a hold of me, I'd be ashamed to tell you here today. When I was baptized, I had cigarettes in my pocket when I went to the baptismal pool. I'd be ashamed to tell you what I did. I didn't do anything that pleased God. God didn't finally say, my goodness, he's really got his act together. I think I'll save him. Or God didn't say, wow, if he goes on any further, he's really going to make a mess of it. I'd better save him now before he really blows it. That's not it at all. You know why we're saved? We're saved by grace. Through faith. Because of what he did already. Down the Lamb's Book of Life. Are we okay? Some of you are looking at me and say, Brother Barry, I've got to work myself there. Good luck. Good luck. Because if I read my Bible right, he has made us accepted in the beloved. Not you. It's the Holy Spirit working in you. It's the Holy Spirit developing faith and virtue and patience and temperance, brotherly kindness, right? The reason that that develops in you is because the Holy Spirit's in there helping you to learn how to be an adopted son of God because you already have the Holy Spirit. Uh-huh. Can I back up what I'm saying here with a couple of statements? That'd be all right. A couple of Bible verses. Token message, 1963. Watch what he says. When Brother Branham comes to the token sermons, he uses the word adoption less and less. Let's look at why. The Holy Spirit, he said, the Word, has been quickened to you by the Holy Spirit to vindicate this age. That you have passed from death unto life, and you're now his. The Holy Spirit quickened that, or made us aware that we are his. Right? Oh, because he is, we have the right to all that he has purchased for us. Every promise in the Bible is ours. And when God has given you the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, then the life of Christ is in you. That's yellow. So it's worth reading again. When God has given you the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about a sensation. I'm not talking about, just having some sort of an emotional experience. I'm talking about when a person really goes through the process, really goes through the experience of meeting God like they did on the day of Pentecost. Like a real meeting with God. And when they came out of that upper room, they couldn't be convinced that they had not met God. They knew they had come in the presence of a supernatural being. Right? I'll tell you what. I believe when Mary was given the experience that she did, I believe that it was not just a passive thing that she could have gotten in her sleep. I believe that Mary had an experience of meeting God. She was actually pregnant by the presence of Almighty God. And it was producing a child in her. And you say, Brother Barry, well, I believe you can get the Holy Ghost without emotion. Well, I'll tell you what. When Mary got it, she had this to say. She said, my soul does magnify the Lord. Oh, she said, I've met him, and he's fulfilling his word in my life. And wow, my soul does magnify the Lord. This is not something you would say, oh, well, you know, I believe the message. Yes, sir. I get myself a license plate, a Malachi 4 license plate out here. And, I go hunting three or four times a year. I tell you what, saints of God, it is a life-changing, real experience in meeting God. It is not just an attendance of a church. It's not just coming to here and being friends with the pastor and all the other things here, doing all the right things, learning the motions here. Look, we've come to a place in our time, in our timeline, where we have generations of kids here that know nothing else but the message of the hour. They don't know Pentecost. They don't know denominationalism. They've never been out there. Most of them have never been out in the world. They've been around here. So they have been associated with the message for a long time. All of you guys have been, most of you except Levine here, been associated with the message for a long time. Grew up, cut their teeth on the back of a message pew here. Only heard things about Brother Branham right from their childhood. And so they're associated already. They're identified already. But that's not a new birth. Just being around believers is not a new birth, but meeting God and having this experience of new life coming in and becoming a new creature, that's a new birth. Amen. And you're not going to get that by sitting in the pew. You're going to get that by meeting with God. Amen. So we don't package up our doctrine and take it to another church and then move on to another church and move on to another church. Let me tell you, this is old things are passed away. All things become new. And you know what? There are fruits that go with that. There are evidences of the new birth. And one, we say that we believe the word for this day. Brother Ram said it's a primary evidence of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's not the only evidence, though. Because there are other evidences, right? Because now our nature is actually changed. We don't love the slop and the filth of the world. You say, Brother Barry, when you're born again, are you perfect? Well, absolutely not. I don't know about you, but I've made a few mistakes in my new Christian life. How about you? You ever done anything? You folks that got the Holy Ghost, you ever done anything you repented for? With the Holy Ghost? Absolutely. Brother Bam said, can a born-again Christian be tempted and tried? He said, absolutely. He said, you're more of a target now than you ever were. Absolutely. But you know what we don't do? We don't sin. We don't disbelieve. Because sin is unbelief in God's Word. Right? So we're not the kind of people then who claim to be born again and walk out and deny the Word for this hour. We don't walk out and say, well, you know, Brother Branham is a liar. Get on a website and, you know, put our acknowledgement on there and complain about, you know, a prophet coming in this day and people, you know, quoting a prophet and so forth. Hey, that's a part of the word for our day. But there are other virtues. There are other characteristics of a Christian. There are other things that go with having now the Spirit of Christ instead of the spirit of my natural parents. Are you with me? So when God has given you the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, then the life of Christ is within you. Now let me say this, and I got to say this as tenderly and gingerly as possible. Do you mind if I lean over this way this morning? I mean, I'm here. In the natural, as teenagers, these guys are going to do things that teenagers do. Because they're not, say, like a mature charismatic, suave, debonair, independently wealthy person like Brother Mark. Brother Mark's got wisdom. He's been around. He's done things, right? He's got experience. He's got children, grandchildren. You know, he's had lots of experiences in life. We could never expect that these guys would have the wisdom that someone like Brother Mark would have because time allows him to experience all of that, right? So you know what? Let's take that and put it in the spiritual. There are certain things that these guys are going to see, understand, and do that are probably going to be a little bit different than what Mark would see, experience, and understand, and do because of, again, time and his experience walking up the road with Christ, right? So sometimes, you know, we see a young person that, you know, maybe they do some foolish. Well, you know what? Teenagers have been known to do some things that are foolish in the natural, right? Some of you are being very gracious. That's my children up there in the front row, and yes, I know that's really true. Someone who's new in Christ is probably also going to do some things that maybe an experienced person might not agree with. You know what? We're better off looking at this probably in a way and saying, "Rather, ha, he don't have the Holy Ghost. I knew he didn't." To say, that's what a young convert would do. So the best thing to do is to teach and to pray for, and to encourage, right? Because my teenagers from time to time have done dumb things. But I don't just disqualify them and say, hey, go find yourself another family, all right? Listen, we really don't want you here. If you're going to do things like that, we don't want you. If you're going to talk like that, we don't want you. But that would be the same as one of these guys made a mistake here. Noah did something capable of what Noah's capable of doing. We say, all right, hey, Noah, you're not going to make it to heaven. Why don't you just go find yourself another church? Go find yourself a Baptist church or something. It'd be an inappropriate thing to say. You know what? It'd be much better for us to take an attitude because he's operating at the level he's at. But now if Brother Mark did something, Brother Mark says, oh, I don't need to pay my tithes and I don't need to do what Brother Barry says and I don't need to go to church maybe once every 2 weeks or so. You know what? I'd be more concerned for him than for him. Because he should be farther along up the road. You know that? And sometimes we get into a flap because of things that young people do. And many times it's because they don't have the years of experience and time. The Holy Ghost is developing as a babe, like in like a young person would grow in the natural. And so that doesn't make it okay for them to do dumb things. But rather, it helps us to discern a situation and say, you know what? There are things we can pray for. There are things we can encourage them with. But you know, there are some people that get into habits and routines in church and which are not profitable at all. And neither are they good examples. I said neither are they good examples. Some people show up in church here only when they feel like it. And something comes up, you know, hey, I'm not going to go. We're going to forfeit going to church for this, for that, for something else. And they have no dedication to the program of God at all. It's not that you need to be here in this church right here. But I'm saying a real Christian, Brother Branham said, a real Christian, he just desires to be in the house of God when the doors are open there. In other words, he wants to be a part. He wants to be identified. He wants to be a part of the body because he's a citizen here and he wants to have the rights and privileges and blessings and everything else that come with being a member of the body of Christ. If you're not a member, and you don't feel like you're a member, but here's Brother Branham saying, when God has given you the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, then the life of Christ is in you. Now that's true. And every theologian will have to admit that. He said that's the truth. It's a new birth. So there are certain characteristics that go along with Christ's Spirit in me that are not there when a person's not born again. Can I go a little further? Now we have the token in this day, Brother Bram said. We've been given a token, which is an antitype of that type. Now you got to get your types right. Stop for a minute. You got to get your types right. Because there are lots of types in the message and in the scripture, right? And you got to get them right. Because I can type the bride as a bride or a woman espoused to Christ, engaged to Christ. And on the way to, you know, marriage and so forth. I can type the bride that way. Like Eliezer, who got Rebecca and brought her to Isaac, right? That's a type of the scripture. But then we can also type the bride as already united and going to the wedding supper, pregnated by his word. Right? I can do that. Show you lots of quotes and scriptures that verify that. But if you don't get it right and you cross up your types, you know what you got? An engaged girl is pregnant and is going to the wedding supper. So we got to be careful that we don't mix up our types. I got your attention. I love it when I get your attention. Watch what he says now. We've been given a token which is an antitype of the type. Of that natural token, we've been given the supreme token. Ah, okay. Of the natural token. You remember what the natural token was? The natural token was, I don't have a bunch of hyssop. You don't have a bunch of hyssop in your pocket. You remember what the first natural token was? They had a bucket of blood, and they took a hyssop branch, and they painted the doorposts and the lintel, and they did that. It was not, Brother Branham said that the hyssop was very common. It was just a weed that grew all around the place. And he said that represented faith. And the blood obviously represented the blood which would later be shed. But they would take that faith and they would just, you know, dip that in there and they would apply that blood. So literally they could look and see that blood applied to the doorpost. That's what Brother Ram's saying. Of that antitype back there, he says we've been given the supreme token. So they could not just say by faith, by an intellectual idea. Oh yeah, I believe what Moses says, so it's all right. I believe I'm in the message. I believe I'm going to go out when the Jews go out. No, they had to literally take, by faith, they had to take that weed, put it in the bucket, and put blood around the doorpost. That's what they literally had to do. It was not just a faith thing. It was not just a mental thing. They had to actually apply it. Now, Brother Branham says, we've got the real thing. Without having the real natural blood of Jesus, the actual blood that flowed through his veins, we have an atonement. Do you believe that? Amen. Jesus, we believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood on our behalf. And by faith, we come underneath that blood and believe that it atones for our sins. This is not just something that is a conception in our mind, but it's something that really happened. Jesus really died and bled and shed his life on Calvary's cross that we might have forgiveness of sins. It's a very real thing to us. And the reason we know it's real is not just because by faith I'm saying that, but the reason we know it's real is because the life that was in that blood has had to come back on the believer who claims it. And so there's an evidence of the life that was in that blood now on display in our lives. How do you live that life? How do you live a sanctified life? How do you live a clean life today? How do you do it? I'll tell you what. It's not me, but it's Christ that liveth in me. Where'd you get that? I got that because His Spirit came back on me because I put my hands on that Lamb that died for me. And all that foreshadowed that has been given to this generation has been given the token. The real thing. And now we have the Holy Ghost is our token. It is our identification that we have accepted the death of the Lamb. That token, that life of Christ now that's come back, is our ID card. It's our identification that we have accepted the death of the Lamb. So do you understand now that we are citizens of the kingdom of God and we have a passport? All citizens have passports. And you can't cross the border until the guy takes your passport and looks at that and says, oh, you're a citizen of the country, okay. And he stamps it and gives it back to you and off you go through there. No questions asked. They're not going to stop you at the border coming into the United States if you've got a U.S. passport. You know what God's given to us? By the whole program of redemption, He's given you a passport. He's given you a means that you can identify yourself when you go up to the border. And death brings you to the border of this life and another life. And you go up to the border and you say, I want to show you my credentials. I want to show you my passport. And you know what? The gatekeeper is going to look at you and say, what do I see? Do I see just a churchgoer or whatever else? Or do I see the nature of Christ? Do I see the real life of Christ that's there? And that passport allows you to enter into the promised land without any hesitation, without any reluctance at all. There's nothing that I could do that would hinder me from entering into the promised land. Because I got a passport. The passport's our identification under the token. Come on, folks. We okay? Not only was Jesus a human life to come back on us, but it was God Himself, manifested in flesh, that brought back upon us the adoption of sons. That now we are sons and daughters of God. Did you get that? Jesus was not just a human life, but that was God Himself. How many believe that Jesus was God Himself in flesh? That brought back upon us the adoption of sons. That now we are the sons and daughters of God. That is the token. It's our identification of the Passover. It's our identification that we have believed God and God has accepted. Not that you're in a church. Not that you've got a Malachi 4 or Bill Bellbuckle. But the identification is the life of Christ, who is none less than God, living on the inside of you. Is that okay? Because that's what the Bible says. For whom He did foreknow, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Leadership. Brother Branham says, there's only one form of eternal life, and that came from God. And just as you were a gene in your father, you were a gene in God. One of His attributes to begin with, or you'll never be there. You are here because your name was placed on the Lamb's Book of Life before there was a foundation of the world. Brother Branham, and I want to just come to this here for a moment here. Because if this is true, in Ephesians chapter 4, Brother Branham says, and he's quoting the scripture here, grieve not the Holy Ghost of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Not till the next revival, but until the day of your redemption. Being baptized according to 1 Corinthians 12, by one Spirit we're all baptized into the body of Christ. And in Him is the fullness of God. No sin is recognized in Him. And in Him is the fullness. Where is His Spirit? His Spirit's in the temple of God. We got any temples here this morning? And no sin is recognized in Him. He that's born of God does not commit sin. The city of God remains in him, that he cannot sin. We've been tempted. We will be tempted. We have been tried. We will be tried. We will stumble, and we will continue to do those things as long as we're in this body right here. But you know what? Sin cannot be accredited to you. Sin cannot be posted to your account. Because as soon as the devil tries to post a sin to your account, he bumps into the blood of Christ. And sin is dissolved when it comes into the presence of the blood of Christ. How can sin be reckoned to you when the token is there? The token is a sign and it's been accepted. So the destroyer had to stop at the doorway that had the blood applied to it. The destroying angel could not go through that door because the law of God stopped him outside. And if you're under the token today, which is superior to that, then let me tell you, Satan cannot come in past that door where the token's applied. Now, just stay with me now for a moment here. If that's true, then I will admit to you today, and I'll admit this first, I have probably preached not enough about us living according to our state or our standing in Christ. Because if this is true, and this really spoke to my heart this week, if this is really true, then Brother Branham says, how about when Satan tries to hand you something, some sickness? He says, you know what to do? You show him your token. Sickness strikes the Christian, show him your token. Prove to him that you're a purchase of God. He said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Hold a token over that with your immovable faith in his promised word. You know what? There's no age qualification given here. Brother Branham doesn't say, now when you're all grown up in Christ and you're an elder in the church, then you hold your token up there and resist the devil. The Bible doesn't say that, and Brother Branham doesn't say that. If Ethan here is a son of God, I believe he's the son of Ben and Sharon, then you know what? If somebody came to him and said, you know what? I don't think you're a McCafferty at all. I think you're a Jones. He can resist that, even though he may not understand the full implications of the law, and he might not understand how it all works, and he might not understand what it means if he gets his name taken away and stuff, all the legal stuff that might go with that. You know what? He can just stand there as a young fellow and just stand, I don't believe that. I'm resisting that. And in the same way, in the natural, any one of you guys here, if you believe and understand what I'm telling you today, you can stand there and resist the devil when he comes to you with a temptation. When there's something on the internet, or whether there's something with friends, or whether there's something. You know why? Because you're not on the way to becoming a son of God. You are a son of God if you have been born again. You're already a son of God, and you have the right to enforce your rights as a son or a daughter of God right now. Now when you become older, and now when you become seasoned, and now when you've been in the church 20 years or 30 years, right now we are the sons of God. And you guys don't need to wait until you're married. You don't need to wait until you graduate college. You don't need to wait until, some idea, and somebody might say, oh, you're just young and immature. Hey, that may be true, but I am a son of God. If I'm born again, I'm a son of God. Look, we cannot say, no matter what we say about Lucas here, he can always say, but I'm a coffee. I'm born a coffee. Nothing can change that. You can't take away from that because I'm born that way. And you know what? No matter what you say, it isn't going to change anything. No matter what you say, it isn't going to matter. And that's exactly the same way that all you guys, if you are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, there's nothing the devil can take away from you because you're already sons. We have fallen into a bit of a trap because of terminology that somehow or another we got to wait to exercise our sonship when we maybe become more mature or older or something else. And I'm telling you, that's wrong thinking. We should be applying our rights to stand as sons and daughters of God right now. And apply the word in your lives right now. Because if I understand it right, if the blood was on the doorpost and the death angel came through, you could have said to the death angel, hey, didn't you see the blood? Didn't you see the token? You can't come in here. Because that was God's law, right? It was God's law. It was God's idea. It was God's word. It was not Moses' word. It was God's word, right? To apply the token. And if the token was applied, the death angel couldn't come through there. Don't you understand? When the tempter comes to your door and you've got the token applied, you can say, hey, hey, you don't belong in here. Out, out, let's go, out. There's a law of God that says if the token's applied, I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. In other words, I'm a son of God. I'm not going to become a son of God. I'm not going to wait 10 years to become a daughter of God. I am a daughter of God already. And I can apply my rights as a member of the family right now. Don't do it intellectually, because if you do it intellectually, you're going to fail. Do it intellectually, the devil's going to sift you like wheat. That's why Peter said, you got to make your calling and election sure. And if you're not sure, it's a good day to be sure. It's a good time to be sure. Do you understand? Brother Branham said, if I had the spirit of Christ, the spirit of a gangster in me, he said I'd have guns. The spirit of a painter was in me, I could paint a picture. If the spirit of a mechanic was in me, I could tell you what was wrong with your car. But if the Spirit of Christ is in me, I'll do the works of Christ, because it's the life of Christ in you. It's the life of Christ in you. Oh, he said, a striking what he did. What Christ did is striking. He took your place, that you might take his place. He became a sinner. You're joined heirs with him in the kingdom. He became a sinner. Your sins are placed upon him, that he might take you and make you a fellow citizen of heaven. Set you with him in God's kingdom. Wow. If we're already sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and the scripture already defines what a son of God is and what he has to do to recognize that he's the son of God, accept the atonement and so forth, come under the blood of Christ and all the other things that are there, all things have passed away, all things become new. You already got your passport, you're already a citizen of that kingdom. Let me ask all of you, why not go ahead and apply your rights? Why not go ahead and claim your ground? Why not go ahead and stand firm? Why not go ahead, you parents, and apply the token over your household? And enforce it and say, hey, oh, hold it down. That doesn't belong in here. That doesn't come in here. Hey, we're going to get this out. We're going to get that out, because that doesn't belong in here. There's a law of God that says the token's applied to this household, and that doesn't belong. So no matter how he got in, you're on your way out. Young people, you can do that on your phone. You can do that on the internet. You can do that on your computer. You can do that among your friends at school. When the enemy tries to come and enter, he tries to come and take ground that's legally, rightfully yours. Let me tell you something. You have a right to turn upon him and say, you're not going to master my life. I'm already a son of God, and I'm learning the Father's way. And the Father's way is to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Come on, folks. Let's realize what God's given to us, and maybe we're kind of waiting for something another to happen, or something to float down from heaven, or some minister to show up and preach some super duper sermon that'll give us some sort of an exciting buzz and a feeling that, oh wow, after all, we are sons of God. Hey, I'm telling you what's already been said years ago. It's been said even before the foundation of the world. God decided on this plan, but had a prophet come and bring it and lay it all out for us and said that all of those things back there were types. Now he says we got the real supernatural thing. Do you know what he's talking about? He's talking about the supernatural God that has actually come and indwelled us so that we can stand as the sons and daughters of God, as members of the bride of Christ who are on our way to glory. And the enemy is only increasing in power and in strength and intimidation and all of his fear factors and all the other things that he's doing to mess up people's lives and to try to trip us up. Look around our assembly here. The people have been injured and hurt. In whatever way the devil can try to make your lives miserable as he possibly can, I say this, even though he reigns in this world because he's the God of this evil age, he's not God. He's not God. You are the sons and daughters of the living God. I say we should stand our ground. Amen. I say we should be more aggressive against the enemy that comes against our children and our grandchildren, and aggressive against the Spirit of God that will come and infiltrate your mind. Spirit against the enemies of the things of God. And you know what? Nobody's going to apply it for you. You're going to have to apply it yourself. Just like every household was given the responsibility of having a bucket of blood in their own house. Not one for the whole church, but every household had one and a handful of hyssop, and they had applied in their own households. And you dads ought to take that commission and say, I may have not been so vigilant in my household, but I'm going to go back and I'm going to make sure that no enemy has entered into my household and gotten past that token. As that token's not on a literal door now, that token's on the door of my heart. And you know what? It manifests itself in the life that I live. Because it's no more Barry Coffee, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let's stand to our feet. We are citizens of another kingdom. Therefore, we should act and claim our rights as citizens of that kingdom. Brother Bram said, but this is the devil's world. That's the reason you got fighting and war and troubles, atomic bombs, murders and rapes and everything, because it's the devil's world. But you're not of this world. You're in the kingdom of God. We are not of this world. We are of the kingdom of God. We should act like it. We should sing like it. We should believe like it. We should be aggressive like it. Like we're sons and daughters of God. We don't have to take everything the devil hands to us. We don't have to take all the lies that are set out. We don't have to take the fear that exists in this world and be wondering, well, how about this and how about that? Hey, there's a whole lot of things that I don't know are coming in this world. I can tell you, according to the message, there are a lot of things that are coming. According to the Bible, there's a lot of things that are coming. According to the governments, there's a lot of things that are coming. But you know what? It isn't in my job description to try to figure it all out. And it isn't in my job description to try to stop it all. In my job description is to believe that with God all things are possible. And somehow or another, I believe God's going to get this bride out of here and to the wedding supper intact, not losing one member. Every one of them will be there. And God's going to have our bodies changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. So your mental state's not going to hold you back. Your physical inability is not going to hold you back. Your performance, hear me, is not going to hold you back. Your mistakes, and we've all made them, your mistakes are not going to hold you back. Because God didn't put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life with a condition. He didn't say, Molly Roy is going to be there if she gets all of her ducks in a row and she gets it all right and everything is done just exactly right. He didn't say that. He said, Molly Roy is going to be there. And you know what? We have an intercessor that helps us, especially in the time of need. We don't even always know what to pray for. Romans 8 tells us He does know what to pray for us. We don't even know what's going to happen on tomorrow. But God says in Jeremiah chapter 29, I know the plans I have concerning you. I know what's in your future. And a lot of times we can exist in a realm of worry and indecision and doubt and fear about things. And you know what? Hey, you didn't cause yourself to be birthed in this age. You didn't choose to be birthed in this age. But if God allowed us to live in this age, He's given us the tools to make it out of this age. I said He's given us a revelation to help us make it out of this age. But I'll tell you what, your job is simply this, to make your calling and election sure. Because God doesn't want you to just be floundering through and say, well, you know, I know the pastor, and I got a handful of dirt from Brother Ram's grave and all of these other things here. Hey, it might be nice, but I'll tell you what, when it comes down to it, you're going to need more than a handful of rocks to get out of here. You're going to need to have the life of Christ to get out of here. Am I making sense? I just wanted to introduce this thought to you because I'll tell you what, I ain't done. I got more. Because the message is filled with this. The message is filled with encouragement to take your ground, to hold your ground. To be like Caleb that came to Joshua and said, give me my mountain. Moses promised me this ground. Give me my mountain. I'm here and I want to claim this. I want to put my name on this and make it official. Give me my mountain. Some of you say, well, you know, I just want to come to church. It's great. But to me, I want to claim the ground God's given me by virtue of being a citizen of the kingdom of God. Huh. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me and the world behind me. The cross before me. I have started. I have started for the King. Yes, I have started. Started for the King. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, follow, no turning back, no turning back. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. Well, I can't hear the rustle in the moment. Move is on, sorry. This is the movie. Move on, brother. On. And I know, I know, I know the move is on. Move on, brother, and move on, sister. This world could not do. You saved my soul when I was lost. Saved my soul when I was lost. Should have been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Oh, you heal my pain. You should have been good to me. Yes, Lord, 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 good to me. Yes, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Oh, you filled me with the Holy Ghost. Surely been good to me. This world could not do. Sing it now. Oh, yes, Lord, Lord, Lord. Surely been good to me. Yes, Lord, Lord, Lord. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. The Word is working mightily in me. The Word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstance, what I feel or see, the Word is working mightily in me. Oh, the working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstance, what I feel or see, the Lord is working mightily. One more time. Oh, the Word is working mightily in me. The Word is working mightily in me. Do you want to know? Mightily. Now, let me just say this. We've had a lot of teaching here over the last, 10, 12 years. And you know what? Teaching is good, because teaching places us. But you know, there comes a time where sometimes we probably need to pray a little bit further and say, Lord, with all the good seeds that have been sown, bring those seeds to life in my life. Because I don't just want to be an intellectual believer. I don't just want to sit there and try to retain everything that preacher says. Because he just constantly puts stuff up there. New stuff all the time. But Lord, make that work in my life. Make that real in my life. And you know what? That ought to be our prayer. It's okay for you to pray that way. It's okay for you to say, oh, that's a quote I can relate to. Lord, quicken that and make that real in my life. Because you know what? As often as I teach it and as much as I say it, I can't quicken it in your heart. It takes the Holy Spirit to quicken the Word and make it real. But you know what? We can become lulled to sleep by listening to good teaching and thinking because I'm in the place where good teaching goes on, then everything must be okay. And people struggle with stuff in their lives. And they struggle with temptations. And they struggle with wondering whether they're in or whether they're not. We ought to be sitting there saying, Lord, make that real in my life. It's true because it's out of the Bible. It's true because it's out of the Message there. But Lord, make it real. Make it a part of me. So it's not just something I try to remember and put on my fridge. But Lord, put it on the doorpost of my heart and make it real. Is that okay? Because the Word's got to be working mightily in us. You need to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let me tell you. God's not going to send some preacher here with some fancy schmancy sermon and make everybody all of a sudden be full of rapturing faith. You know how it comes? It comes line on line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. I got news for you. Rapturing faith is already here. But you know what? Rapturing faith has got to go from here down to here. And it's got to become a reality in our lives. Exactly so. And that's what makes this church attractive to the Holy Spirit. That's what makes His presence be welcome among us. When we're sitting there taking His Word and not just trying to retain it and say, oh, wow, I wonder what they're going to have at the fellowship hall today for lunch. I'll tell you what, I believe what attracts the Holy Spirit is your believing His Word, receiving that Word, and say, Lord, apply that to my heart and make it real. That's what He wants. Are we okay? Do you want to know where I'm going? Where I'm going soon? Anybody ask you where I'm going? Where I'm the pain, heartache it brings, comfort in no end, I'll soon be. I'm going up to yonder. Yes, I'm going up to yonder. Well, I'm going up to yonder to be with my Lord. Sing it again now. I'm going up to yonder. Yes, I'm going up to yonder. Well, I'm going up to yonder to be with my Lord. Second verse again. I can take the pain, the heartache it brings, comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. As God gives me grace, I'm gonna run this race till I see my Savior face to face. Yes, I'm going up to yonder. Well, I'm going up to yonder. Well, I'm going up to yonder to be with my Lord. Yes, I'm going up to yonder. Well, I'm going. Thank you, Mark. Yonder. Yes, I'm going up to yonder to be with my Lord. He is good. He is good. His love endures forever. You believe that? He is good. God is good. His love endures forever. The Lord, for He is good. He is good. God is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks, for He is good. For His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds, give thanks to the Lord. Yes, He is good. God is good. I appreciate your worship. I appreciate your level of faith that's in here this morning. And I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to have all of our deacons come up here for a moment. Andy, I'd like you to come up here. And Sister Karen, I'd like you to come up here. And I'd like for us to pray over this prayer cloth to give to Brother Wayne. Sister Karen said something this morning. You mind if I repeat that? She said this morning, in reality, she could have been visiting a funeral home this morning to make arrangements. You're here. You're here because of God's grace watching over Brother Wayne. I'll tell you what, folks. Somebody was watching over Brother Wayne. That's just absolutely amazing. And so we want to join our hearts together in prayer. Would you give him the prayer cloth this morning? And let's just all pray. Put our hands here. Brother Andy. Father God, we join our hearts together in prayer now, believing that, Lord, You are a healer today the same as You ever were. There's nothing, Lord, that's too great for Thee. And so now, Lord, after this event, after this disruption in our brother Wayne's life, we commit him into Your care. Pray that You would bind up his wounds, Lord, and You would give him victory over this thing. Not only physically, Lord, but mentally as well, for the struggles that he faces, Lord. And I know the thoughts that the devil will put in his mind. I just pray that You would give him peace, victory,
And Lord, allow him to believe truly that you were watching over him. And his angel was standing guard that morning, Lord, in that place. And Father God, sometimes when we think we're alone, we realize that we are not really alone at all. But Lord, you are with us. You are closer even than the breath we breathe. And so, Father, we pray now for after this incident. But we want to thank you for before this incident, you were there. You were present, Lord. You were real. You were on guard even when we weren't praying for Brother Wayne. Most of us didn't even know he was there. But he was there, and you were there, Lord, ahead of him. And, Father, that gives us comfort in knowing that you are with us. And now we pray, Lord, for him and ask that you would bless him and Sister Faye. Lord, I pray, just touch them, give them strength. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Andy and Karen, if you would take that and deliver it. God bless you. He is good. God is good. His love endures forever. For he is good. Yes, he is good. God is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks, for he is good. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've had together today, Lord. And Father, I just pray it stir in every heart. That, Lord, the Word of God might become something that's very real to us, Lord. Not just something passive, something that we hear and try to retain with our normal mind. But, Lord, we believe the supernatural mind of Christ has actually come into the bride. And, Lord, we have this ability given to us by God to know what the Father would have us to do. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to apply it in our lives. Make it real, Lord. And I can't do that. Lord, I can lay it out, but I can't do that. Lord, you have to do that. You are the one who quickens the Word and brings it to life. You're the one, Lord, that gives us a passion that's ignited for the things of God. That, Lord, you're the one that stirs and sparks that revival in our soul. That, Lord, it isn't just a church event or a place to come, or it's a routine of Sunday morning. But, Lord, we want it to be a life-changing experience, Lord, something that's very real to us. Be passionate in us. Be passionate through us. And help us, Lord, to live a life that's pleasing to the Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, for those that are not well. We think of Brother Alan, Brother Ernie, Lord, and Sister Carol this morning. And we've already prayed for Brother Wayne and Sister Faye. And now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, all who need your touch, including myself, Lord, I just ask and pray that you would just be merciful. And, Lord, may your hand of virtue just touch us today. We commit our ways to you, Lord. Bring us back, I pray, at the appointed time. And we'll give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. First line. Lord, I want to love you more than I ever have before. You're so easy to adore. So easy to adore. Lord, I want to love you more. Lord, I want to serve you more than I ever have before. You're so easy to adore.
to serve you more. Lord, I want to love you more than I ever have before. You're so easy to adore. Lord, I want to love you more. Serve you more than I ever have before. You're so easy to adore. Lord, I want to serve you more. Oh, Lord, I want to love you more. To love you more.